doing. My first question is, what leadership skills do you think are most important for college students to develop? And how would you suggest we develop these skills in our own careers?
That's a good question too, Jeremy. I would say one of the best leadership skills for anybody, no matter what you're doing, would be communication. I feel like with anything that I've been a part of, whether it's sports, whether it's business, whether it's union work, whatever, the number one thing that always either helps things go right or makes things go wrong is communication. Yes. Because a lot of things go unsaid, right? Like when you're playing, I'll just say for me in basketball, if we get back on a fast break and me and my teammate trying to figure out who gonna guard that guy, you see it every night in the game, and then that guy's open shooting a three, and then the two dudes look at each other like, I thought you was taking him. I think, well, if you talk about it, it takes all the guesswork out, right? So right. same thing when it comes to business or whatnot, like good, bad, or indifferent. I think what I learned is a lot of people don't like to have hard conversations, mm-hmm. right? And that's hard. Like, that's really hard. Like, when it comes to business, I mean, I've owned a business. I've actually had to fire someone before, right? Like face to face, that is really tough, but those decisions have to be made. And I think you grow from it.
Got you, man. And with that, I would say, what advice would you give students about leadership, being a student and leader, specifically those who might struggle with that balance?
Right. And see, this is the thing. Everyone leads in their own way. Mm-hmm. I had a question the other day. Someone asked me who was my favorite teammate in my whole career. And that teammate has been David West. I played with him for my first 6 years in the NBA, and we both were leaders of our team. We just led in different ways, mm-hmm. right? So I'm obviously a lot more vocal. I'm very passionate. And D. West, he sort of just led by the way that he played. And he only spoke up every now and then when he would see certain things, but both are important. And I tell you, the best leaders also know when they need to follow, right? So anytime you're on a team, anytime you're in business somewhere, anywhere, sometimes people need to hear a different voice, mm-hmm. right? And when that happens, sometimes it makes people a lot more comfortable.
Got you. My next question is, with your grandfather being such an important person in your life, what is the biggest lessons he taught you about leadership that you think will help like college students watching this interview?
Yeah, it's gonna sound so simple, man, but I'm gonna tell you, like, I have a very hard time dealing with lazy people. Right? I'm so serious. Like, I try or whatnot, but my grandfather, and whenever I think of him, right? Whenever I think of him, the first thing that I think of is just doing the work. Right? Just doing the work. Whatever it is, right? If somebody tell me I gotta achieve this, then I'd be like, okay, what I need to do to achieve that, mm-hmm. right? Just show me what it is. I'm gonna do the work. And so I think that's the thing that I would tell college students is that we all have to find discipline in different ways, whatever it is, whoever you are. And, you know, if you can lock in, right? If you really think of your goals or right now, you start thinking, what might I have to cut back on in order to achieve that? Mm-hmm. You know, it is real. That discipline is real.
Gotcha. Thank you for that. And then my next question is, you talk about being on Team USA with Kobe Bryant in your book. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, like, as the leader he was, can you talk about the impact that he had on you? Mm-hmm. And the lessons you learned from him?
Man, Kobe was different. He was different, man. And I appreciated him so much. Just because it's not a lot of guys, honestly, that's even in the league now that play with the passion that I know he played with and I know I played with. And me and Kobe were close, but me and him was quick to be about to fight in a game. You know, we in the playoffs against each other, we getting double texts, but the reason that was because we knew that the other one was gonna match each other's energy, right? And so it didn't matter what it was. Didn't matter if it was a preseason game. Didn't matter if we was playing pickup. It was what it was. And so I just appreciated that about him, man. And every time I played against him, I knew he was going to bring out the best in me. If a ball screen was set and I got switched on Kobe, I was so excited. I used to love guarding Kobe, man, because if you really want to get better at something, then you got to play against the best.
Definitely.
Right? And so that's what I always appreciated about Kobe.
Got you. And then my next question is, you spent 8 years as a president of the NBA Players Association. And in that time, you tackled the important issues from collective bargaining to the COVID crisis. Can you give examples of one of the biggest challenges you faced and how the association and you worked together to solve it?
One of the biggest challenges was trying to get some of the guys to understand why we needed to go play. Like it's a crazy whirlwind. And when you're in that position, and that's why you got to be built for that. You know, we got 450 of the most recognizable faces in the world, right? Guys playing in the league. If only you knew how many guys was texting me, talking crazy, talking reckless about me, saying, why are we going to play? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? But it was what it was. I was used to it. You know, when you're in a position like that, you got to make decisions that's the best for everybody. And not everybody gonna like you. I think that's the biggest thing going back to leadership when you talk about somebody. Like, when you're a leader, you can't worry about being liked. You cannot worry about being liked, because if you're doing that, then if everybody like you, you might not be doing something right. But some of the decisions that we had to make that was really tough was to shut down and not play after Jacob Blake's shooting, which was tough for everybody to deal with. But we needed to shut down. We needed to talk. We all were away from our families, and we wanted to have face-to-face conversations about how we were feeling in that time. So that was a big part of that bubble.
Gotcha, man. My last question is, we are all leaders in student groups. What leadership advice would you give student group leaders who want to make a positive impact in their campuses and also in their communities?
I think that goes back to the communication aspect, right? Depending on who your school leaders are, who your community leaders are, is reach out to them. I think this is what's crazy too, is those community leaders, right? Whereas, you know, I'm sure they're busy, whether it be the mayor and all that stuff of a town or city or whatnot. If you reach out to them, I'm sure they'd be so surprised that somebody actually reached out to them, especially a student, you know, trying to be proactive in doing the work, you know? And I think sometimes, I say this all the time, some of the most like famous, busy people in the world, nobody ever texts them or hit them up because they feel like they're too busy. Whereas a lot of times, if everybody feels like that, then you just literally sitting around like, damn, don't nobody check on me. Right. You know what I mean? So in that aspect of it, I would say just continue to communicate, figure out what's most important in your school, in your community, and then work that way.
All right. Well, thank you, man. Thank you so much.
No problem, Jeremy. Appreciate you.